Yeah, throw that recipe away. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's Drive Guys here. We have the smartest listeners, smartest viewers on radio, on YouTube. Case in point, we just heard from Paul, and he was pleading with, Drapes, did we have better free throw numbers last year? Paul's absolutely right.
He's absolutely right. Last year, we were number 7 in the association in free throws attempted at better than 25 per game. This year, we're 22nd in free throws attempted, 21.9. So almost a four free throw per game differential. Although De'Aaron Fox's numbers are just up a slight tick. But the problem with De'Aaron Fox is while he's taking more free throws, last year he shot 78%. This year, 72%.
Yeah. Last year, the Kings were 12th in the, as you say, association and free throw percentage. This year, as we know, 30th.
Mm.
Why? It's not like they got rid of a bunch of their best
Right. It, guys, like High Flyer said, it's focus. You got to lock in and make them when you're up there. Focus in.
Mm-hmm. So what could anybody have possibly learned from that? Obviously, Mike Brown, I think, well, in my opinion, a lot of that is coach speak. He's not really going to tell us what he's really thinking. I guess on some level you think, is he talking about himself? Players, we will learn from that. You lose a lead like that and you face some of those things that we don't see a lot defensively, we'll be better next time around. I guess that's what he's saying, right? That's the point. You know, Durant said, well, we pressured Domas. We switched so many screens, made the play one-on-one. They're a team that likes to play a free-flowing movement offense. So when you can disrupt that, they turn into a different team, said Kevin Durant.
Here's my point, and I'm going to go back to this, and I'm going to raise this question, and I want to know what people out there think on the YouTube chat, 916-339-1140. In a game like last night, you heard the words Whitey just said from Kevin Durant. We pressured Domas. And we switched. Read that for me again.
Sure. They are a team that likes to play a free-flowing movement offense. So when you can disrupt that, they turn into a different team. We pressured Sabonis a little bit more. We switched so many screens and made them play one-on-one.
Which happens late in ball games. We saw it with Golden State last year. You see it in the playoffs. Sometimes you need guys that can go out there and get a bucket. This is where my Zach LaVine love comes in at. Not saying that he's a perfect fit or that contract.
Yeah, all good.
But in the NBA, you need tough shot makers. When the system bogs down, like it did last year during Golden State, you need guys that can get you a bucket. Sacramento needs more guys like that. And that's why I think, for me, Zach LaVine could help you out in that regard. One of the best tough shot makers in there. He said Durant forced him into ISO ball. We don't have ISO ball players. That's not our MO. But I think at times, you look at the best teams in the Western Conference. Heck, the best teams in the NBA. I'll pull up the standings right now. Let's start with the Western Conference. Would you say Anthony Edwards is a good isolation player?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Leader of that team. Would you say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a good isolation?
Yeah, I think he's pretty good, Drapes.
Would you say, you know, Denver's a little different. Would you say Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you need guys that can just go out there and get a bucket, who don't rely on the system. We got a couple of guys that can do that. But I think we need to, you know, a Zach LaVine, and I understand he's making a ton of money. Throw the money out. I'm just talking from a player perspective. We need guys where we say, you know what? Shot clock's at 7. Make something happen. We don't have that. We don't have many guys like that.
I thought we had, the Kings had, two guys that tried to do that last night.
Yes.
And they were not able to, and they ended up disrupting the offense even further. I'd also say this, and I mentioned I was talking to Jerry Reynolds today, and Jerry's been, you know, he's been a coach forever at all levels. He says, you know, I just think sometimes you need to have the option of a little structure. There's times when you want to run a play. You want to be able to run a play. And I'm sure the Kings have some, but it would have been nice last night down the stretch, like, hey, we're going to run something here.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Instead of just...
maybe a Malik Sabonis pick and roll or something like that. Or,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. the criticism of Mike Brown last night you had. I don't think the players performed well in that fourth quarter, and I don't think the coaching was as best as it could be.
No.
Like, and if you're Mike Brown, you probably look at it and say, darn, I wish I would have did this differently or something. You know, it's a lot of second guessing. Obviously, he did what he did in the moment.
And let's be honest, maybe that's why he seemed a little defensive when you and you weren't trying to do it, but maybe he felt a little bit like, yeah, I wasn't at my best last
night. Right. And so I don't know, man. Like, as great as coaching is, ultimately, you got to have the players too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Malik Monk tried to get in his one-on-one bag, but that's not necessarily Malik. You know, he doesn't have the size. That's why I say a guy like Zach LaVine, and people are on the YouTube chat, oh, he makes too much. Why are you worried about money? Why are you worried? It's not like the Kings are going to go out there and get three guys for Zach. Like, the money is the money. If Vivek's okay with paying it, if the ownership group is okay with paying it, why should we be worried about that? You know, I mean, we're about to re-up De'Aaron Fox to a massive extension.
Mm-hmm.
We already did DeMontis Sabonis to a massive extension. You know, when you look at the NBA, man, you got to pay to play. Look at the Warriors. Look at all the contending teams, man. They got big money contracts out there.
Yep. Yeah, at this point, after losses like last night, let's face it, that was pretty unique in some ways. But, you know, those losses where you just feel like, oof.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of those for different reasons. After those losses, I feel like I don't care who they get.
Get somebody. Get somebody.
I just feel like there's such an aching need for something more. This team is just not going to get better unless they do make a trade.
Do you think Matisse Thybul moves the needle enough? Or do we need, after watching last night, upper-level talent? Guys that can get you 20, 25 a night.
I think if you get a lesser guy, you need two lesser guys. Not to dodge your question. You know what I mean? You get a big fish, fine. If you get Matisse Thybul, then I think you need, if you're really going to address things, you need another guy like that as well. I don't know. But you're definitely better with him. Just how much better?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a great, you know. And Beamley says Thybul would help. And he would help.
Yes.
No doubt about it. He would help. But to Kevin Durant's quote, he said, we switched everything. We pressured Domas, forced him into one-on-one. We don't have elite one-on-one players outside of De'Aaron Fox.
Can Thybul, can he play three at all?
I think so. Okay. I think so.
Uh-huh.
You know, depending on the matchup.
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing. But I think he could play some three. Because here's the thing. Let's say the Celtics, for instance. Jaylen Brown is their three a lot of times. And so can he match up with Jay? Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bring in, but see, if you get Zach LaVine, that's probably it, right, as you pointed out.
Right, that's it. That's your move, you know? I don't know, and that's why this trade deadline is so critical for Monty, because we've been talking about it for 2 or 3 months, and we still have yet to come on a consensus. What do the Kings need? Well, they need high-level talent. Well, they need a four-man. Well, they need bench help. Well, they need another point guard. You know, we need a 3-and-D guy. You know, we could go a number of different ways. And so Monty, you know, will have options on how he wants to construct it. Here's what we know. He got to get it right, though.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, Monty, you got to get this one right.
My take on that has always been two things. A bigger guard who can defend. And I'm not even thinking a starter. But an off-guard who can defend. And if he could do other things, great. And a 3-and-D wing. And if you could get two of those guys and neither one of them's a star, I think you've really improved yourself. But those are the two things to me. You know, to your point, they need a backup big. What do they need? Here's a guy. We talked about him yesterday. I was talking about this player with my brother yesterday, today, and with Jerry Reynolds. DeAndre Hunter, we talked about him yesterday.
Yes.
It's a good fit right there.
Good fit. Good fit. You know, kind of long, athletic.
Uh-huh.
To me, still has a lot of upside.
He defends and he can make threes.
Yeah.
He is literally a 3-and-D guy.
No, you're right. I would take DeAndre Hunter in a minute. And if you're Atlanta, you're not going anywhere fast. Maybe it's time to hit the reset button in Atlanta, acquire a bunch of draft picks,
mm-hmm.
some young talent or something like that. But I would, you know, and Wes Wilcox used to work for the Hawks organization, so he's got, you know, deep ties there. That would be a player I kick the tires on for sure.
Mm-hmm. And as we found out earlier today, I think Mark Stein had it. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe you saw this already. Harrison Barnes apparently is a guy that the Rockets have interest in. So we've been trying to figure out how something could fit there. Doesn't look like a good match. Doesn't look like Houston would have anything available that the Kings would want. But it's pretty clear. That's one of the things that we learned from last night. And I know your point, Kyle. You're saying, look, we didn't learn anything. We knew right. what the Kings needed. To me, it just, okay, maybe we knew it, but it really further underscores the urgency that something has to happen. Now, you can't keep squandering these games and then expect to be in the position you want to be in at the end of the regular season in this freaking Western Conference.
No, you're right, man. And it's sort of like a situation where, you know, you're cooking up a dish and you put some salt. Man. All right, it tastes good. Then you go back, nah, I need some more. Like, we keep going back. We know what we need, and we keep getting reminded, yeah, we need, you know, 2-game win streak, 3-game. It doesn't matter because this team keeps reminding us of its shortcomings, and we're talking about building the championship now. We're talking about a competing for a championship, and moves need to be made.
All right, without a major move, what is this team's ceiling? Time for some real talk. We're right back with...
The Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
I shared this number earlier with Chris and Alan. I think Chris already knew it. This just really speaks to how much the NBA has changed since last year when the Kings were the team of the year, right? I didn't know this, Kyle. Maybe you knew it. Maybe you knew it, dear listener Jay. Last year, we know the Kings had the highest offensive rating of all time, right? Like 118.6.
Yes.
Not only number one in the league, highest anybody's ever posted. This year, going into play tonight, there are seven teams right now with a higher offensive rating
than what they had last year.
When they set the record last year. Yeah. Indiana, Milwaukee, Boston, OKC, Philly, the Clippers, and Denver. And the Kings right now sitting at 14th in offensive rating. Just shows you how much things have changed.
Yeah, and scoring is... An offense is at such a high right now.
And it continues, yeah.
And it continues. And I wonder, and I need to do the research. Maybe I'll have this for tomorrow. Because we've talked about where you need to be defensively. Maybe not top five, but if you're middle of the pack. But where do you need to be offensively in the NBA to win a championship? I would like to go back and look at the offensive rating of, let's say, the last 10 NBA champions.
Yeah. One of the things you talk about a lot is, you know, you numbers can be deceiving.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the case with some of the numbers that we've all thrown around on the Kings defensive rating this year. I think there have been a number of times when we've looked like, oh, they're up to, you know, I think they might have been up to 13th at one point.
At one point, yeah.
But I don't know. This is not a good defensive team, right? In my opinion, this is clearly not a good defensive team.
Well, here's the thing.
Check out the
I'm looking at the stats right now. Sacramento 17th in defensive rating. So to me, that means how many points you give up over 100 possessions. 115.9. What stands out to me defensively is that, as I continue to look at these numbers, and I talked about it earlier, you can't be a good defensive team. You can't be, in my opinion, a middle of the pack defensive team when you are defensively the 29th ranked three-point defense. Like, three-point defense is a huge part of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It's like protecting the paint. Like, if you're the worst team at protecting the paint, can you really be a good defense? Same thing with three. If you're the worst team at guarding the three, can you? I don't care what the defensive rating says. Can you really be considered?
You're vulnerable in a very
key area. You're vulnerable in a very key area. It's like having the top defense, but you're dead last in the run in the NFL. Like, I don't know, you know?
That's a good point.
Let's forget about the defensive rating. Let's look at the key areas of today's NBA. And three-point shooting is huge when it comes to that. 29th in the NBA in three-point shooting. Defense.
Yeah, and the Suns took advantage of that last night. The question was, before we went to break, what's the ceiling for this team if they don't make a major move? From, let's see, we have Amadrock here, says, with the current roster, this team is a solid 6 or 7 team in and out of the play-in. Well, I mean, that is where they are right now, right? They're 7th. My fear is, that if you do nothing, that it seems like the rest of the conference is starting to hit their stride and maybe getting better when you're kind of spinning your wheels a little bit. Maybe that's just I'm overreacting to this road trip that was so gut-wrenching, but that's my fear.
Well, those fears are valid because when you look at it, we can look at the standings and say, all right, who can the Kings definitively beat in the playoffs? Because we're talking about their ceiling. It's not about regular season. It's about what you can do in the playoffs. So right now, the Kings are seventh. Would you pick them in a playoff series against the Pelicans?
Nope.
Mavericks?
Maybe. I'd sure want to. I can't
Clippers.
Stand the Mavericks. No.
Nuggets.
No.
Timberwolves.
No, probably not.
OKC. I know we've beaten them.
I said before the season started that the Kings would be 5 and OKC would be 4 and the Kings would beat them. So I have to stand by that just because I said it before the season started.
Okay.
But I understand your point.
Phoenix in a playoff series. Phoenix, Booker, Durant, Beal.
I don't know.
We can't definitively say it.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we just named 1, 2, 3, 4 teams that we have definitively said can beat the Kings in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, when we talk about the ceiling right now, it's probably advanced to the second round.
Yeah.
At best?
Yeah.
If everything goes right, you hit your stride.
Uh-huh.
Or if you're Monty McNair, do you go out there and make a move in your ceiling? You know, because you look at the Lakers. Raise that ceiling. Look at the Lakers last year, Whitey. This time last year, they were left for dead.
Uh-huh.
They went out. Rob Pelinka made some moves, and that ignited them. They made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Why can't the Kings do that same thing? Mm-hmm. It's not like the Lakers mortgaged the farm or gave away young talent or blew it up or anything. Rob Pelinka made some stealth moves and brought in guys that weren't, 25-point-per-game scorers, but they fit in what you're doing. Maybe that's the route Monty McNair goes.
Get me Rui. Then I want
Would
Rui.
You like Rui?
Yes,
I love Rui. Hachimura. High motor guy, defense. He was key for them last season, the Lakers. Yeah. I would love Rui Hachimura here.
Oh, boy. We got to take a timeout. We'll get right back to the phones. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And we'll look at how close the Kings came to having a great road trip. Next, Drive Guys Sacktown. Tomorrow, we'll be coming to you from the Golden One Center. Kings getting ready for the Indiana Pacers. It's funny because I was thinking, they just made the trade for Siakam, so they're not going to have much of a roster. And you said the same thing Chris Watkins said when I mentioned that to him. Like, yeah, but the Kings.
Right.
Against those short-handed teams. And I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it shouldn't be about who's coming into your building. It should be about what you have, what you're bringing. And, we talked about it all throughout the season. I'm sure Chris Watkins talked about it as well. Without Tyrese, without some of the guys they traded away, it creates opportunity for other players. Other guys are looking to make their name. And so that if I'm the Kings, you got to make a statement tomorrow. After the last two losses, you got to make a statement.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Real quick, the Kings came so close to having, let's face it, they came so close to having an absolutely great road trip. They came so close to having a great, absolutely just one for the ages.
Look, you lose by 1 to Milwaukee and lose by 2 to Phoenix. You're 3 or 4 points.
Yeah.
Free throws away from having a great road trip.
Maybe there's a saving grace there. Maybe, it's better that you get a truer sense of what you actually have before the deadline. I don't know. Let's go to Rich here on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Rich, you're on the Drive Guys. What's up?
Pretty good, guys. Enjoy your show. Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
Had a couple of comments, a little different perspective on the Kings situation. Some food for thought. I say that it's the coaching. And I know Mike Brown has been, and I'd like you to consider this. Mike Brown walked into a situation where things gelled last year. The West was weak. It was a weak year for the West. Fox and Sabonis gelled. They played excellently. The Kings got eliminated by the Warriors, and I thought Mike Brown did a poor job of coaching in the seventh game, not playing Davion and allowing Curry to go off. Okay, and then we jump to this season. You know, if you look at the Dallas Cowboys getting trounced and you look at the Eagles getting trounced, the first thing that they talk about is Sirianni in Philly or the coach in Dallas being on the chopping block. When the Kings do bad, it's always the players. I say that Jordy Fernandez, if he is the defensive coach, is doing a horrendous job. It can't be that these guys, being great athletes, can't learn defense. There's some flaw in their offense that doesn't allow them to get back quick enough. I heard Henry Turner say he watched the Kings, and after a shot, they go to the three-point line where a team like New Orleans converges on the basket. I heard Matt Barnes today talk about how come nobody came up with a set play last night to slow the game down. Again, coaching, coaching, coaching. I say that Mike Brown is a fairly good coach, but I'd say that he deserves blame. And if you bring another player in and plug him into this system, you're not going to have success. It's the system is definitely at fault. And to completely ignore that, I think, is to ignore the elephant in the room.
All right. Hold on.
By the way, Mike McCarthy is sticking around. Thank you for the call.
Sticking around.
Mike McCarthy is still going to coach.
Is that what we're doing now? We're going to start throwing shots at our guy, Mike Brown? Like, the way he made it sound, it wasn't just a one-game problem. He made it sound like going back to the playoffs.
Yeah,
He made it sound like, you know, oh, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, they gelled last year. Well, there's a reason why. Are we really going to do this now? Go ahead, Whitey. I'm sorry.
No. It's understandable that people feel that way, but I think there's a fundamental issue with Rich's argument. Like I said, it's understandable people feel that way. I don't agree with it. We said earlier, we think the Kings will be lucky if Mike Brown's a coach for a long time. But I think we both said, you know, last night probably wasn't his greatest coaching job. But here's the thing. To Rich's idea that there's something fundamentally wrong with the offense that prevents them from playing defense. This is basically the system the Warriors ran when Mike Brown was there. They were a great defensive team.
They were a great defense. Yep.
The difference is they have better players playing defense. So, I appreciate the call and the kind words, but I just don't buy that at all.
Not buying it. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to Ron Adams. You know Ron.
Oh, yeah.
Assistant coach, defensive guru. And he said, in today's NBA, you need 3-and-D guys. You need two-way players. The problem is those just don't grow on trees. And so, you know, you're working with what you got. We had Jason Anderson on, and we talked about Mike Brown maybe hopefully sending a message to Monty, talking to Monty. Like, you don't think Mike Brown would want two-way players, a roster full of two-way players?
Yeah. They made the playoffs last year as a four seed, and they're in right now. I know we would like them to be out of the play-in, but Mike Brown has been there for that's good.
Right.
That's not somewhere you want to get rid of the coach.
I mean, if Kings fans are talking about getting rid of Mike Brown or he's the problem, is that what we're really like? This is the unanimous coach of the year. He changed the culture of the franchise. And here we are, 23-17, and talking about the coaches. Come on, we got to be better than that. That's terrible.
Ramsey joining us here, Sackdown Sports. Hello, Ramsey. What's up?
What's good, gentlemen? I wanted to go back to something you were talking about earlier. It had nothing to do with sports. It's that food talk we had, Drake, talking about, especially the collard greens. I know you pork, but a lot of people don't dig on swine. You got to throw some turkey in there, like Jay said. And the turkey is a better flavor.
Really? All right. I'm gonna try the turkey next time.
You've got to try it in your greens. Try it in your green beans when you make them. Try it in the black eyed peas.
Okay.
You got me thinking back to a couple weeks ago in New Year's when I made some.
That's funny, man. Because you know you that was like an hour ago, and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna call in and make sure Drapes knows you got to get the turkey up in there. That's good stuff.
Thanks, Ramsey. You sign off on that, Jay?
Oh, absolutely. You got to add a turkey neck.
Okay.
You know, a little smoked turkey action in there. Ramsey even talked about the turkey tails. I'm not a turkey tail guy, but, you know, I don't cook collard greens. I don't cook the black eyed peas. That's for Big Mama. That's for Grams. That's for the wifey. You know, so I stay back out of that, out of the kitchen. But, yeah, I enjoy a little turkey in that, a little smoked turkey neck.
All right, I'm gonna give that a shot.
How about Ken? Ken joins us here, Sackdown Sports. Hey, Ken, thanks for hanging. What's up?
Thanks a lot, guys, for taking my call.
I'm guessing you're not in a great frame of mind after last night, Ken.
I'm not in a great frame of mind, but I couldn't disagree more with the caller a couple of calls ago when he was talking about is Mike Brown's fault.
Yeah.
Mike Brown doesn't shoot free throws. Mike Brown is not responsible for four turnovers in a 22-point comeback. The Kings get careless. They play with their food. They throw the ball away, and they don't do the little things necessary. Quite frankly, I'm not panicking because I've seen enough from this team, and when they're playing right, they can compete with anybody. The thing that frustrates me is when they get careless and they give games away, because those two games they've just given away, it's like, you were right, that could have been a fantastic road trip. 4-1, you beat Phoenix and Milwaukee on the road, but you come back and you give those games away. To me, and I keep talking about this, for this team to take the next step, it's those things they have to do that's going to determine whether they take the next step. Because whether people know it or not, you take a look around, those older teams, Golden State has fallen off. The Lakers have fallen off. The Clippers are on their last leg. They're playing great. Phoenix, I'm not that impressed with them. They can't guard anybody. So really the competition for the Kings in the West is going to be the Oklahoma Cities, the New Orleans, the Minnesotas.
Yep.
They've got to be consistent to play against those teams, because if they're not, they're going to be looking at 20-point blowouts every single time. And I'll go back and say, I'll say it again. You cannot make free throws. It is absolutely insane to have your point guard shooting 72% from the free throw line. You wouldn't go for that in college. You can't have it in the pros. And until we get better at that, as much as everything, go back and look at the Kings free throw shooting down the stretch last night. They missed free throws that inevitably could have been the difference in the game. Those little things that they do, and you're talking about bringing somebody in, unless he shoots free throws and plays better D, he's not going to make a difference to the team.
Yeah, so gotta play better
D. It's internal. It's gotta be internal. Get better at what we're doing. We make those corrections, we can get right back to where we was. And on top of everything else, last year, going into All-Star game, we were 7 games over .500. Right now, we're over 6. We're at 6. I think we're okay. We just got to clean up on the stupid mistakes and play better down the stretch and do the little things, and we'll be all right.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate that, as always. Yeah.
Can I shoot back at that real quick?
Go ahead. What you got?
Yeah. The only thing is and I most of about 98% of what Ken is talking, I'm with it. The only thing is you guys have acclimated to today. People around the Kings have gotten better. This ain't the Clippers of last year when we was going into the break, you know. And the difference of it is the Kings last year heading into the All-Star break, it wasn't so much of a roller coaster ride as we've seen.
Right.
Like right now, I mean, choose your theme park. We've been, it's that right now this year. And so I think that's where you're kind of getting some of the people like Rich, who was before him, who's calling out some other things. The other thing, real quick, I'm not saying anything about Coach Brown because I don't think it's that. I agree with what Ken just said. But can we start to question at all if Jordy Fernandez is the defensive guru on this team? Can we start to question, well, maybe his system doesn't work with these players? And we have to interchange, not saying get rid of Coach Jordy, but maybe he has to take on the consideration of, and I don't know this, Drapes, you may be able to answer this, and I haven't heard this question coming through when we've had Coach on, but maybe his system might have to change. Like, he might be a run-and-shoot guy or a press guy, but maybe he needs to fall back into a zone guy to protect some of the players that he has.
I would say this before Kyle shares his expertise. You know, Jordy may be running the defense, but Mike Brown is a defensive coach, too, so it's not just all
But is he really doing the scouting anymore?
Well, all I know is they brought in players to fit a system. They're not necessarily forcing the system on players, right, Kyle? I mean, they knew what kind of defense they wanted to run.
Yeah, and here's the thing about the defense. We've seen it in spurts. We've seen it in flashes. You know, we can't talk, Jay, about what happened in the fourth quarter without also acknowledging what happened in the first half when they were playing great defense. If you watched them last night, their defense was tremendous in that first half. And so I think what you need to do is probably upgrade the talent defensively,
yep,
bring in better individual defenders. But right now, I'm not going to necessarily question the system because we've seen it in small doses work. Like, he didn't change the defensive strategy or anything second half. You know, it worked in the first half. Now, sure, they went small in the fourth quarter, and then you make some adjustments, and you can question DeMontis Sabonis having to blitz guys and then playing 4-on-3 on the back end. You can question that. But you're making sweeping overstatements when we've seen – go back to that loss against the Warriors in the playoffs. It wasn't the defense that failed him. Sure, Steph went off in Game 7. He had one of those, all-American, all-time great moments. But their defense was actually pretty good in the playoffs. And so I just think, man, guys just got to be better.
I think it's a fair point, but I think bottom line is on this roster, and we don't need to name names,
yeah,
there's a handful of guys that play a lot that are poor defenders. There's no system around that can make up for that.
Right.
And I'll just say, Harrison Barnes is probably one of the better defenders on the team. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not, he's not what he was. My point isn't to denigrate him. It's to say, here's a guy that's not what he was defensively. He's one of the better defenders on the team. So it's right, not a matter of system. It's a fair question, but the answer is
yeah, that's I hear not what Jay's saying. It's a fair, it's something that can be discussed, but ultimately, I don't think that's it. You know, the Suns shot 43% in the first half, turned the ball over 11 times. The defense was there in the first half. It's just hard to sustain 48 minutes, and that's what we're seeing from Sacramento. They aren't able to sustain the high levels of play that we'd like to see.
Yeah, and then to Ken's point, when you go brain dead on your half-court offense,
right,
you put more pressure on your defense. Yeah. It all goes hand in hand. Anyway, thanks for the calls. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Hey, Emil and Nate are going to join us. We're getting ready for the return of the Empire, and I know you love talking 49er football.
Oh, I can't wait, especially my favorite guy, Emil. Can't wait. Can't wait.
That's next year at Sacktown Sports. Yeah, we've been talking a lot of basketball today, but of course, Saturday night, it's on the 49ers and the... That's cute. The Green Bay Packers.
My Green Bay Packers, baby.
Yeah.
Your.
Nah.
We're getting
any
ready.
Team going against the Niners, that's my squad.
That's just being a hater.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Emil and Nate joining us. Emil and Nate as we get ready for the return of the Empire. Yeah, he hitched his wagon, but good, to the Packers yesterday.
Yeah. Would you root for the Cowboys, too, if they were up against the Niners?
Now, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's really difficult because you guys know as well as I do, Cowboys fans are insufferable. Like,
you used to be one.
I used to be. Good but I was a quiet one, though. I wasn't like, I wasn't waving in
you
the flag.
Quiet. You yes. were a quiet
yes,
fan.
Yes, dude. Really? I wasn't always like this, man. And I just do this to get a rise out of you guys. Uh-huh. I'm not really into it. Uh-huh. You know, I'm uh-huh. not, you know, if the Niners win.
Not really? That's
no, it's good. It's good for radio. It's good for radio, man.
Unlike when I get a rise out of you.
Nah, you never do, bro.
You never.
Stay at the kids' table, big fella.
We should ask Sabrina about that one.
Oh, man. All right, hey, what we got?
Yeah, well, I'm wondering what concerns on? You guys the most here. Is it Brock Purdy playing in the wet weather potentially? Or is it Mark Chimura saying that the Packers need to go after Brock? Ooh,
Emil says the weather's not a problem.
It's kind of shifting back and forth.
Is it?
Just no, right for now. Brock, like if it's raining, that's what you said to me before the show, right?
I think it's overblown, honestly. I really do.
Uh-huh.
Cleveland weather is different weather.
Are you eating something?
No.
Yes, you are, dude. What are you doing, man?
It's not very professional.
I'm stuck on ice.
It's not very professional. Oh, my goodness.
You caught me mid-ice.
Oh, my. I thought I was the unprofessional one.
I'm a huge ice chewer. I don't know why. I always have been. Always happens.
Chimura.
I see what you have to put up with now on your pod.
Yeah. It's a battle. He's a real battle axe, this guy.
I am.
Battle axe.
I go off on rants. Oh, yeah.
So this is like Bounty Gate 2.0.
Oh, yeah. It's worse. It's worse. I'm taking it to heart, Whitey.
Oh, my gosh.
I keeps me up at night.
Uh-huh.
Nah, this guy, I mean, it's just a stupid thing to say. He even acknowledges it. And there's a couple things going on. Like ESPN Milwaukee, they tweet out this segment. It's like a minute and a half.
Yes.
All these people get upset. Mm-hmm. They leave it up all day. Clearly, they're looking for blood. They want the clicks. They got over. I produced the midday show today with Alan and Chris.
Yeah.
They got over a million impressions. in the midday show. So that's what you're looking for, is you sell impressions, right?
Right.
Like, ask all the salespeople downstairs. They're looking for impressions to sell. They're looking for likes. They're looking for interaction. And that's what they're getting. Mm. This is just some tight end who played for the Packers. I don't know. Was he like a pretty prominent?
No, he was good. He was a big part of what they did.
Yeah. He's no stranger to headlines. I'll say that. But he said a 15-yard penalty, and I don't condone this, but I kind of do in the playoffs. 15-yard penalty for a late hit on Brock Purdy is not a bad thing as long as it's worth it.
So what makes it worth it? That's just hurting him?
Get Sam Darnold in the game? Knock him out?
Darnold might be able to beat the Packers, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm not. What?
I have some breaking news.
What you got?
Okay.
This is per Eric Branch, the San Francisco Chronicle. Trent Williams, regardless of what happens in this playoff, will be back for season 14 next
really?
Year.
Really? Wow. That's massive.
Squash that today. Talk of media.
I was feeling this was it.
I was as well.
All right.
There was that thing with Kelsey too, where the reports came out he retired, and then I saw he was on McAfee today.
Oh, was he?
And I saw a headline that he's I didn't read it, but the headline was that was false info, and he hasn't made a decision yet.
So yeah, he said he's not retiring. Yeah. He's like he hasn't
Kelsey
made,
said
he's not talked to his wife.
Really?
So that's kind of
he basically said on his podcast as well, you don't make the decision with the emotions right after that game. You have to take time and think about it. So he's still thinking about certain stuff.
I thought that's he kind of made the decision going in like to this season. I thought he kind of had it figured out.
Similar with Trent, like this was kind of it.
Yeah.
Well, what can you guys tell us about what you have coming up today on this special edition, playoff edition of Return of the Empire?
So we're going to recap Wild Card. We're going to talk about how the games weren't really that great. We got some numbers on how it did, Nielsen numbers or whatever, with Peacock and stuff, which surprised how the Chiefs and Dolphins did, considering that it was only on Peacock and I didn't think anyone in the world had Peacock.
The Office. Okay, it's
We got that. We got we did when the preseason was going on, right before the preseason, we did these sticky notes like TNT does.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where they write them down, they put
predictions
them up for
and all that. Yeah.
So we did that kind of as the season was developing early on. So we're gonna recap what we got right, what
Good
we got
for you.
Wrong. It'll be funny. Yeah. I know a couple of them I botched. I'll leave it. But if you want to hear,
team.
Yeah. So we got that, and then of course,
credit.
Previewing Niners Packers. You know, the line I've seen move quite a bit.
What is it now?
I've seen it open up 10.5, saw it go as low as 8, and now I'm seeing 9.5. All over the place.
Looking forward to that.
That 10-point tease is just staring you in the face.
We got to run to give you guys time to do your pod. Kyle, see you tomorrow
Golden
Center.
One, yes.
Yeah,
stick around. Good call.
Return of the Empire with Emilio Natus next right here. Zach on Sports.